So this morning, I want to talk about, I want to share with you a word God has given me over the last 2 weeks. It has just been birthed into my heart about rain, about God's rain. This is why we have umbrellas and we're singing about God's rain. And today is Pentecost Sunday, so it's a really special time that we celebrate as Christians. But I wanna share with you a word that God has laid in my heart, and I really pray that it's gonna bless you. Amen. It's gonna change something in your heart. So I'm just gonna pray for us, and then we'll get into the message. Father, I just worship you this morning as the one who gives life, the one who brings us to the fullness of our potential, to the fullness of what you have created us to be. And this morning, God, I pray that you will come and change us in the inside. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that whatever you want to bring across, whatever you want to highlight, Holy Spirit, that you will come for each individual, that you will highlight that. God, I pray for open hearts, pray for open heavens and the ability just to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are summer people? You like summer? Okay, I want to raise both my hands. I love summer. Winter is a challenge for me, even though it's London's winters are great, eh? I love it's London's weather. How many of you like the winter? Oh, awesome. This is your season. Enjoy it. Coffee, blankets, heaters, hats, scarves, enjoy it. But I remember when we lived in Cape Town, we moved from Cape Town about 5 years ago to East London. And I was, for my whole life, I was used to a winter rainfall season where it's cold and it rains in winter. So I heard that East London is a bit different. You know, it rains in summer, it's a more tropical climate. And I thought, I've no idea how it's going to be like. I've absolutely no idea whether I'm going to like it or not. And we arrived here, and it literally felt to me, I think in the natural and in the spiritual, as if God has uprooted me and planted me in my natural habitat. It was as if, for the first time in my life, I felt as if I'm flourishing as a little plant. I've always been planted, you know, in a church. But somehow I had this feeling that I'm now where I'm supposed to be since ever. You know, in the natural, I absolutely love East London's weather. I know we suffer a bit, hey, in January, February. But I take those 2 months for the rest of the year, you know. I just say, it's not that bad. Because I just, in total, you know, comparing to rain and cold and just winters, you know, where it's just forever cold and wet. I so appreciate this weather, but I've realized that whether we are a winter person or a summer person, we need rain. We can't say we like winter but we don't like rain, or we like summer but we don't like rain, because somewhere without rain, something is going to go wrong, okay, in the natural and in the spiritual. And When I was praying for this morning, God showed me two pictures, which I have on the screen for you. The first one is about a desert. You can put that one on. There's a desert. I know many pictures of deserts are really pretty. Even this one, it's quite pretty. But try to live in a desert. Try to build a house there and make a living. Try to do that. It's quite a challenge, hey? And I really felt that there's going to be people here this morning, you're experiencing a desert season in your life. Or you have a feeling that you, compared to maybe previous seasons in your life, this is a season where you're battling to connect with the Lord, or where you feel empty, or you feel dry spiritually. And I really felt that God is going to shift that season, this desert season in your life is going to shift you to a rainforest. So let me show you this picture. Yay. Green. Green, new life, water, rain, something is happening, something is growing, something is flourishing. And I trust and I pray this morning that whoever of you in any kind of way is experiencing a desert inside. It could be because of many different reasons. I mean, just having a small baby can put you in a desert season because your time is just so limited to spend with the Lord. You're constantly tired, or maybe a busy season at work, or just challenges. It can feel to you as if you're in a desert. But the amazing thing is this morning is God is reigning all the time. We just need to take ourselves from the desert into the rainforest. Amen. It's not as if God is not reigning. It's not as if He's not there. It's just we just need to move from the desert into the forest. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. So before I start, I just want to ask Rosie just to come up. She had a picture about just that so connects to my sermon, and I just wanted to share that quickly. Thanks.
Thanks. Morning, everyone. I had this, Sonika asked us to please pray for her, and I had this picture and I shared it with her, and she just asked me to share. It was a picture of a huge tidal wave, and it was busy rising and rising and rising. And there were people that were standing looking at the tidal wave. And as this tidal wave started to rise, these people, some of them were frightened, some of them were excited, but nobody ran away. Everybody was mesmerized by this tidal wave. And as this tidal wave, it was huge. The people were like this small compared to the tidal wave. This wave actually froze as it peaked. And as it peaked, the particles on the top started to break off. And it started to drench the people. And it started to soak the people that were standing underneath the tidal wave. And everybody that was drenched and everybody that got soaked, there was a light beam, a light tunnel that came from heaven and just enveloped the person. So you had these light beams coming from heaven enveloping the people underneath this tidal wave. And these people started to bask in this light beam. And as they started to bask, there was a sense of freedom that God had released in these people that were in these tunnels. And these people started to do what God had planted in their hearts to do. Some were singing, some were dancing, some were twirling, some were kneeling, some were praying. Everybody was doing something different. And as they were released and they felt this freedom and they started doing what God had planted in their hearts to do, these beams started to grow and they started to connect with the other light beams. And until such time as all the light beams, there was just a mass of light. And everybody was able to move amongst everybody else in total freedom. But this light that connected everybody was so bright that it like shone for everybody else to see. And that was the picture that I got.
Thanks, Rosie. God speaks in pictures. Amen. And it's so special to me, since we started the Destiny Unlocked series, there's so many people who have received pictures from the Lord. And even in our life group, we've got the most amazing people in our life group, by the way. We're so blessed by them. It's such a happening. Amen. For us, it's just such a joy. But even in our life group and many other people in church that I've heard from, they've received a picture for the first time ever. You know, just seeing something and God speaks to them through a picture. God often speaks in pictures. And this one that Rosie had this morning is just so much connecting to what I want to share this morning. So I want to take you to a scripture in Hosea 10, verse 12. And I want to share with you, how do we position ourselves to receive God's reign? If I'm saying that God is reigning all the time, we just need to get from the desert to the rain. How do we do that? How do we go from desert land to rain land? How do we do that? Hosea 10 verse 12, it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. Fallow ground is land that is uncultivated. So it is land that's just lying there waiting for seeds to be planted, waiting for the harvest to come, and waiting for rain, waiting for something to happen. It's lying there. So this scripture says we need to break up our fallow ground. And we need, it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on you. So I want to talk to you about three things: seeking the Lord, breaking up our fallow ground, and we need to do that until God comes and he rains righteousness on you. So we can't give up. We have to do it until the rain comes. So if I say we need to seek the Lord until the rain comes, how do we do that? I want to share a few things with you around that. First of all, we need to ask for rain. We need to ask God for rain to come. Zechariah 10 verse 1, it's a beautiful scripture that says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Now, the former rain, there's some scriptures in the Bible that talks about former rain. Some scriptures in the Bible talks about latter rain. Now, former rain is the rain that came at planting time, which means you've planted your seeds, then the rain comes, and then already something is happening. That is the former rain. The latter rain is spring rain that comes just before the harvest, just before harvest time. And this is the rain that Zechariah 10 verse 1 says we need to ask for. Because I really feel many of us have received the autumn rain. Some kind of rain has fallen on our hearts. Our spirits have maybe come alive a little bit. We have received something. But I really feel strongly this morning that that is not enough. It's not enough. We need the spring rain. We need the spring rain which comes just before the harvest, which means it is the rain we need to ask for and pray for and seek for with all of our hearts. So we shouldn't stop. When Jesus said to his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem for something, for the Holy Spirit. You see, at that stage, they have had no idea what the Holy Spirit was all about. Jesus taught them a little bit. He was trying to explain to them, don't be sad that I'm going away because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. But for them, it was kind of still very strange. You know, they didn't know what to expect. However, they were obedient and they went up. They were waiting in the upper room and they were asking God for spring rain. This is what they did. So they did what the scripture says. We need to ask God for rain in the time of the latter rain. So they were asking God for spring rain. And the result of that was that not only they changed, but on that day, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter had his first sermon, remember? He ran away when Jesus was crucified. He denied everything. He said, I don't know this man. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon him on the day of Pentecost, he preached his first sermon and 3,000 people came to know God. I mean, isn't that amazing? So the effect of that spring rain falling on them was not only a change in themselves, it was a change in many, many other people. So it's like a harvest. The spring rain comes just before the harvest. It equips us. It gives us everything we need to bring in the harvest, which makes it really exciting. And practically, I know we've spoken a lot about this, but practically, to ask and to see God for his spring rain, pray and worship is our key. Pray and worship. And not a quick prayer, not a quick song, but as I explained 2 weeks ago, we need to spend time in worship until we move from music to worship to prophetic worship, until we feel something is different. We shouldn't be satisfied with autumn rain only. We shouldn't be satisfied with worship only. We need to move from worship to a feeling or a sense or a something that changes something inside of us. It changes the despair to hope. It changes depression to joy. That is when you know that you have received spring rain. Okay, something has shifted in the atmosphere. We have to make our time with the Lord and our relationship with the Lord priority. If we want the spring rain, we have to put God in our diary. And I've often said that, and I'll never stop saying that. But we fight for many time or for many things in our lives. But how often do we fight for our times with the Lord? How often do we fight for that? You know, my husband and I work together, so we see each other pretty much all the time. Do you know what? That doesn't really count. It's awesome. I mean, I really enjoy working with him. But it doesn't count for FaceTime with him. In fact, it could actually be sometimes be bad because we see each other all the time. So it feels as if we have lots of time together. But if there's not an undivided attention, if there's not only the two of us being able to talk without any distractions, it doesn't really count for time between us. Which means we could do many things with the Lord. We could come to church, you can go to life group, you can do many things with God. But how many FaceTime times do you have with the Lord? Where it's only the two of you. Where you talk and you discuss things and you plan and you just chill with God, you know? How many times do we really have where it's just us and the Lord? You know, it's like there's just no time limit or there's just no distractions. And I've seen in terms of my time with my husband, the FaceTimes, it doesn't just come automatically, spontaneously. It's not just there all the time. We have to fight for it. We have to schedule it. We have to plan it. We have to make time. We have to put it in our diary. I just put things in my husband's diary. I just say, you'll just see, we have an appointment. I just check his diary and then I put my own appointments in. But you know what? It works. It really does. You know, I just fight for it. I plan it. I schedule it. And it works. But how often do we do that with our time with the Lord? How often do we put God? 2 to 4 on a Tuesday afternoon. Okay, most of you work on a Tuesday afternoon. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. That's my time with the Lord. It's in my diary. Now you get a phone call from a friend. They want to go out. Sorry, I have an appointment already. How many of us are going to do that? Not many. If any, you know. How many of us schedule an appointment with God and how many of us would actually turn something else down because we have an appointment with the Lord? Because this is what we would do. I mean, if I have an appointment with my husband and something else comes up, I'm sorry. Sorry. You know, I have an appointment with the most important person in my life. So I'm not going to cancel that for anything else. But do we do that with our time with the Lord? I really feel so strongly, you know, the scripture that says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. I so believe it's time just to fight for our time with God and to seek Him with all of our hearts, without any distractions. You know, if we spend a lot of time with chocolates, we're going to crave it, hey? If we spend every day with chocolates, a slab, you're going to crave it the next day. If we do the same with God, we're gonna start craving Him. We create an appetite for God's presence. So the more time you spend with Him, the more you would like to spend with Him. So if it's really hard work for you, or if you really battle to get into or to make time for the Lord, it could be that you just need to create an appetite. You just need to come to a place where you start somewhere, and then the more you do it, the more you want to do it. Amen? It is so powerful just when we get into that place. Okay, so we need to seek the Lord. We need to ask for rain. We need to make time for God. And we need to go to rainy places. As easy as that. You know, we can't sit in the desert and complain that we're dry and we're empty and we don't hear God's voice. And we need to move somewhere, okay? We need to go where it rains, which means you can't isolate yourself. You can't isolate yourself. And you could maybe even physically not isolate yourself, but you can isolate yourself in your heart. You can build walls around your heart. And I want to encourage you. Please come to church if you feel depressed on a Sunday morning, or if you just can't get up for some reason, or if you feel sick. Come to church if you're sick, please, and can pray for you. Please don't stay away. Force yourself to come to church. Force yourself to go to life group if you have had a bad day. Let me tell you, I've had many bad days on the days when it's life group days. Then I really don't feel like it's, you know, I just want to run away, and it's at our house then, so I can't run away. But if it was at somebody else's house, I maybe would have considered not to go. It's just amazing how the devil wants to keep us away from the rain. He wants to keep us away. He will give you a bad day or a bad morning, or he will let something happen just before you need to move from desert to rain. And he will do anything to keep you from going. So please force yourself. Force yourself. Say, I don't feel well. I don't want to go, but I'm going. I'm going. Just get yourself to a place where it rains. God is so faithful. He's so faithful just to bless you and to, you know, even if you don't want to go, just do it. Just do it. I've often seen that, you know, just when you, sometimes when you really don't want to go, it's actually the times when you have to go because God has an appointment with you. There's something waiting for you, but the devil is wanting to stop you. He's really trying his best to keep you from going. We need each other. We need authentic community. We need to come to a place where even in our weakness and even in our in the times in our lives when we don't feel like it, we go and we're there. Amen? Have I convinced you? Are you ready? Are you ready for your depressed Sunday morning? And you say, devil, I'm going to show you. I see you want to keep me in the desert. I'm not going to stay here, okay? You put your army boots on and you take him on. You take him on. Okay, we break up our fallow ground and we cultivate our land. So we need to ask God for rain, but we also need to prepare our land. We need to prepare our hearts. And there's many, many ways in which we can do that, but I just want to touch on one thing this morning that I feel God wants me to talk about. We have to deal with offenses, and we have to deal with unforgiveness in our hearts. It's very hard for God's rain, even when it rains down on you. If God rains on a hardened heart, the raindrops just can't go in. You know, it can't bear fruit. You can't prepare your land. You can't plant seeds because your heart is so hard that the rain doesn't even have any effects. So we have to deal with offenses and unforgiveness. It's very important. We need to get rid of the weeds in our hearts. So let me give you a definition of an offense. I've spoken about this before, but I really felt that God's wanting me to talk about it again. An offense usually occurs when you see, hear, or experience behavior that is so different from what you expected that it causes you to falter, totter, and wobble in your soul. In fact, you're so stunned by what you have observed or by a failed expectation that you lose your footing emotionally. And before you know it, you're dumbfounded and flabbergasted about something. Then your shock turns into disbelief. Your disbelief turns into a disappointment. And your disappointment turns into an offense. And the problem is that the person who can hurt you most is often the person closest to you. Why? Because our expectation is higher upon them. We have this high expectation of our husband or our wife or our pastor. You know, we have this huge expectation about this man of God. I mean, obviously he's perfect. You know? Obviously he's perfect. And if he does anything that is not according to your expectation, then it's as if it shakes your world. It does. This is what this definition is trying to say. You lose your footing emotionally. It shakes your world. When the pastor didn't greet you in Peckham Bay, it shakes your world, because how can he not greet you? He's a man of God. He should be kind and gentle. And he doesn't phone you on your birthday. Or you just, it shakes your world. You see, it depends on your expectation. If you don't have an expectation that he's going to phone you, it's going to be all fine. But if you have an expectation that he's going to phone you, it's going to shake your world if he doesn't. If your husband forgets your birthday, obviously there's a huge expectation he's going to not forget your birthday. It's going to shake your world. And that thing can easily turn into a huge disappointment, and it can become an offense, which means your heart becomes hard. Hard. You close it off and you say, I'm never ever going to be so shattered again. So I'm going to close my heart. This is what happens. So you're disappointed. It becomes an offense. You close your heart, which means you don't even allow God to come in. You kind of allow him, but up until a point. And then you say, okay, God, that's enough. I'm protecting my heart. Because you see, some of us are offended with the Lord, because obviously we have a huge expectation from God to provide for us, to care for us, to come through for us when we pray. Some of us had experiences where we actually really trusted in the Lord, and it didn't happen. Or whatever we expected didn't happen. Now we say, I can't ever be so shattered again, so I'm going to close my heart towards the Lord, which means you block the rain. You block what God wants to do in you, because the deep root in your heart is an offense, which makes your heart really hard. So we have to come to a place where we deal with that, where we say, okay, God, I recognize it. I recognize it. I see it. I was extremely disappointed. I was angry. I got hurt, and I closed my heart, because I don't want to ever experience that disappointment again. I'm going to die. You literally feel as if you're going to lose it, if you must go through it again. So you close your heart to protect yourself. So if you recognize anything in you, and I really pray that God's going to show us the weeds in our land this morning. If you need to forgive somebody, please don't delay. If God highlights anything in your heart right now, somebody that you need to forgive, please do not delay. Please do not delay, because you block the rain. You block life. You block the life that God wants to pour inside of you. So you feel as if you're protecting yourself, but you're not protecting yourself. You're slowly dying. So you have to open your heart again and say, okay, God, I'm so scared to trust somebody again. I'm so scared to believe again, but I'm going to do it. And you trust that God is going to come, take out the weed and bring healing and bring restoration. So sometimes God will lead you in terms of forgiving. Somebody will lead you to write a letter, send a message, or phone the person, which is hard. Sometimes that is what you have to do. When you're offended, especially with somebody in authority, when it's your boss, it's not necessarily a good idea to go to him and say, you have really offended me, but I'm forgiving you. I would advise that you really ask God for wisdom. Sometimes when it's an offense, especially somebody, as I say, somebody in authority or somebody that you really have an expectation, you know, from that person. Sometimes it's good just to take it to the Lord. To say, God, I was so disappointed by that thing that the pastor said 3 weeks ago. It shattered my world, and I don't know how to deal with it. And I can feel that I close my heart on a Sunday because when Andre speaks, it's just not the same anymore. And let me tell you, it happens. It happens. The devil is so clever that he could twist one or two things that Andre says on a Sunday morning. He can twist it to suit his plans. And he can bring you to a place of offense with Andre. Andre is my husband. He's the pastor for those of you visiting. And it can make that you can't receive anymore on a Sunday morning because you got hurt or disappointed or offended or shocked. How can you say that? Can't believe it. You know, you're shocked, and that shock slowly turned into an offense. And now on a Sunday morning when you sit here, you just say, it's not the same anymore. I go to church, but there's just nothing. God doesn't touch me anymore. You look at the people and you think, this is just fake. You know, they jump around, it must be fake. Meantime, your heart has become hard. And you have fallen for a clever trick from the enemy to twist one or two things and to bring an offense. And by that, I don't say that my husband is perfect. Please have grace for us. We need grace, okay? We're very much human. We make mistakes. We sometimes say things that we shouldn't say. And that is where we need to have grace for one another. And that is also a way of dealing with an offense. You extend grace. Because someday you're going to say something that you shouldn't have said. And then you so wish that somebody will give you grace and say, I forgive you. So the best way I've felt or I've experienced to deal with an offense is to give grace. Because someday you're going to need it. You're going to someday need grace because you would do or say or, you know, something would happen and you didn't mean it. And you really want to take it back, but you can't. And then you need grace. And that is how we deal with an offense. We just soften our hearts again, to trust again, to believe again. Even if you've been so disappointed and you can't believe, you know. And it's sometimes not what we do, it's what we don't do. Okay? It's not what people do that offend us. It's what they don't do, what they don't remember. That can be so disappointing. But we block the reign of God if we don't deal with it. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to ask you, please, if God highlights something this morning where you feel, yeah, it's not the same anymore between me and that person, and you really feel there's a destiny in that relationship, you feel this is not good for your heart, please deal with it. Please ask God for wisdom. Ask him, okay, Lord, what should I do? But ask God to soften your heart. Please. I beg you. Because otherwise, you're not going to be able to receive God's reign. We have to come to a place where we soften our hearts. We must walk by faith and not by sight. That scripture says we need to break up our fallow ground. We need to prepare our ground. We need to seek the Lord until he comes and he rains righteousness on us. Which means we can't give up after 1 week. We can't give up after 1 month if we don't feel the rain. We have to do it until he comes and he rains righteousness on us. We have to keep seeking the Lord. He is faithful. He's so faithful. Joel 2, verse 23 and 24. All the prophetic books in the Bible, by the way, often speaks about rain. There's lots of prophetic books in the Bible. And I know we don't spend so much time always in them, in our personal time when we read the Bible. But there's lots of pictures about rain in the prophets, which is really special. It says, rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. God is faithful. So we have to seek him until we experience rain. We have to move from the desert 1,000 times if necessary. But we must continue seeking the Lord until we experience his rain. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There will be a harvest. We just can't lose heart. There will be a harvest in your heart, in and around you, if we do not lose heart. So what is the result? What is the result of spring rain? If I say we need to not only be satisfied with autumn rain, we must also ask God for spring rain, which comes just before the harvest. Why is that so important? Why is autumn rain not enough? What is the result of spring rain? Just going to quickly share a few things, and then I'm going to ask Kim Liebenberg to share a picture shared in our life group. We truly come to know the Holy Spirit. When we experience spring rain, we come to know the Holy Spirit. We come to know more than just Jesus, or we come to know more than just the Father. We come to know the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 16 says, it was Jesus. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I will give you another helper. That another means the following. One besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. What does that mean? Jesus duplicated himself in the Holy Spirit in such a way that, you know, when Jesus lived on the earth, he could be at one place at a time. And the people were following him everywhere because they just wanted to be with him. By giving us the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I'm with you always. I'm with everybody at all times. I know it doesn't make sense with our minds, so don't even try to figure it out. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. It is Jesus himself coming alongside us, each one of us, and he would do in Jesus' absence what Jesus would have done if he was right here this morning. Isn't that amazing? If we grasp it, if we really understand it, it is the most amazing revelation, because it is as if Jesus lives with you in your house. It is as if Jesus drives with you in your car. He goes with you to work. He sits next to you when there's a huge crisis at work. He sits next to you. That is the Holy Spirit. We come to know him as truly our best friend. Our best friend. When we sleep, when we awake, when we're on holiday, when we're at work, is there with us. Not to condemn us, not to catch us out when we do something wrong, to help us, you know, to be there with us. That it means Holy Spirit. That helper means intercessor, which means he prays for us. I mean, we always ask people to pray for us, but the Holy Spirit himself is praying for us. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our advocate. He's fighting for us. And he's our counselor. He gives us counsel when we need wisdom, when we need to make a decision. He is our counselor. That is what happens when we experience spring rain. We get to know somebody who's our advocate, our counselor, our helper, our comforter. He's always with us. It is so encouraging, so encouraging. In my life, it feels as if I experienced autumn rain when I committed my life to God when I was 13 years old. I really did experience some kind of rain in my heart. But it was only when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was 16 years old, that I experienced spring rain for the first time in my life. Because this rain, it was more than just me. It had a greater effect than just my own life. It started affecting other people. And that is what spring rain does. It is an overflow of, it creates a river inside of you. And I'm going to speak about this river now, but it creates a river inside of you that is a blessing to not only yourself, but to many, many other people. So we come to know the Holy Spirit. We also come alive. I've said this before, but I want to say it again. What we see here, our body, is not who we are. It's not who you are. This is your house that you live in. And yes, we need to take care of our bodies and all of that, but I'm not going to emphasize that now. Our spirit is your spirit is the true you. So if your mind is alive and your body is alive, but your spirit is not alive, guess what? You're not really alive. You think you are, but you're not really alive. So the moment spring rain comes down on us, something comes alive in us that is the real you coming alive. Does it make sense to you? It's not, we can be healthy and we can be exercising and we can be eating right and everything. If your spirit is not alive, you are not alive. You think you're alive. So what happens when the spring rain comes, you come alive. And this is why I want to ask Kim quickly to share a picture 2 weeks ago during our life group when we were worshiping. And that was about a day or two after God has given me this word about the rain, and I just knew that she must share that this morning. So thanks, Kim.
Wow, that's loud. So we were busy worshiping. We just, Sonica was playing the piano, which is amazing when she gets into worship. And we started singing Let It Rain. And this is when I had this picture. So I wrote it down so that I didn't miss too much. I saw myself standing on a wide open desert plain. I could see for kilometers. All around was just thick, cracked ground. You could tell that there had once been life here. As we were singing Let It Rain, it was almost as if we were contending for something. The passion, the desperation was burning in our chests. I began to feel wind tugging at my clothes, something different. I raised my eyes and looked into the distance, the source of this wind. There on the horizon were these massive cumulonimbus clouds, forming, brewing, gathering, just as an army might gather. The wind blew stronger, a fitting foreboding for the majestic storm gathering before me. There was such a sense of, behold the king, authority, power, majesty, awe. But not once was I afraid. In fact, there was such an overwhelming feeling of freedom. With my guard almost upon me, I opened my arms and threw back my face, thunder punctuating my action and giving the command to open the storm's gates. Rain of the warm and life kind fell. As if in slow motion, my eye followed the course of the raindrop from pregnant cloud to barren ground. And as the life drop, collided with the desperate earth began to respond. Being awakened from a painfully dry and long spell or slumber, she began to come to life under the soaking life drops. And in a surreal, fast-forwarded motion, this barren earth became ablaze with life, color, beauty. Our King of the heavens hears and responds to the desperation of our hearts. He doesn't leave us hanging. He arrives in majesty to pour out his life, his love. So let it rain.
That's amazing, eh? That is so awesome. So I just knew when she saw that picture that night, I knew that God wants us to talk about rain, that brings us alive. It brings life. It brings life. So something in us come alive, and you can't necessarily explain it, but you come alive. When the spring rain falls on you, we come alive. And we need to stand in that rain often. I think the problem is sometimes even when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we think that's now enough. Or we relax or we become passive, and then we don't ask for the spring rain anymore, which then can move us into a desert again. So one explosion of rain, of spring rain, is not enough. We need to seek for it all the time, continuously. But it doesn't only stop with us. We bring life to others. And this is my last scripture, then we're going to be done. Ezekiel 46. There's a picture in Ezekiel 46 where God showed Ezekiel. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. That was his job, okay, his occupation. God showed him a picture about a river. And he showed Ezekiel first that you can go ankle deep, or you can go knee deep in the river, or you can go waist deep. And this is where we're picking up the story, okay? So God showed him the picture, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. And then he was showing him bit by bit, okay? This is how God speaks to us in pictures, or often in pictures. Verse 9, or verse 5. And it was a river. All of a sudden, it became a river, the picture, that that's Ezekiel, could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. So he didn't stay ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep river. It was all of a sudden a river that he couldn't cross. He had to swim. He had to get into it completely. Verse 9, it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river go, will live. Which means it became a river, and wherever this river goes, it brings life. So it creates life. It brings life. Verse 12, along the bank of the river, on this side and that side, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month. Now, this is significant because if we understand nature, most fruit or vegetables or things, they're seasons, okay? It's strawberry season, or orange. It's not oranges, you know. Vian just wants strawberries. Now I tell him, it's not the season, and he doesn't understand it. You know, why can't we buy strawberries or avos? You know, it's not avo season. Praise God for avos. But obviously, we could have it at all times, but then we need to import. Okay, where you stay in the country that you live in, there would be seasons for certain fruits. Now, these trees, will bear fruit every month, which means there's no. If you're a strawberry tree, you're gonna have strawberries every month. Yay! If you're an avo tree, you're gonna have avos every month. There's no such thing as now you, in winter or in summer or whatever. It's you're gonna bear fruit every month. This is the result of spring rain that becomes a river. You'll bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, from heaven, from God. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine or for healing. Which means, if we get rid of weeds in our hearts, if we open our heart to the Lord to receive spring rain, it's going to become a river. If we stand in it often, not once or twice, often, every day, every week, it's going to become a river inside of us. You're going to be a tree next to this river, and you're going to bear fruit every month, every day, in your workplace, in your family, as a husband, as a wife, as an employee, as a teacher. Whatever you do, you are going to bear fruit every day, every month. And that fruit will be food for people, and it will bring healing to people. Isn't that amazing? So you need to picture this. You need to picture, I have a picture of a river. Janice, if you can put that on quickly. Okay, you're going to become a river. There's going to be trees on both sides. Those trees are going to bear fruit. It's going to bring healing. It's going to be food for people. So you're going to become a huge blessing. It's not only about you anymore. Yes, and it is about you because God wants to bless you and he wants to rain down on you. But you're going to become a river, which are going to impact many, many, many people. And you're going to come alive. You're going to come alive. Because when we start impacting other people, we truly come alive. Amen. Many of you have experienced that. When you start giving of yourself, when you pray for somebody and that person starts crying and say, this is so awesome because God is speaking to me, you come alive. Because you've just extended your own fruit and leaves from your tree to somebody who is getting healed, who is getting food, spiritual food. You come alive. You bring life, but you also come alive. It's so awesome. You're gonna bear fruit every month. And I feel many of you this morning, I'm almost done. Many of you this morning are toe deep in the river. It's only your toe, your big toe, that you're kind of testing. Is it cold? Is it not cold? No, it's too cold. Okay. Mm, too cold. I feel God just wants to take us this morning. If you're toe deep, He just wants to, He's not going to now push you in the river. Nobody's going to do that. But He just wants you to get ankle deep. Just to see that it's actually nice. The water is actually nice. You know? It's not that cold. God just wants to get you to open your heart and to trust Him. Amen? So I just want to ask Tanya to share one last picture. We have many pictures this morning, but I want them to share because I want you to be open for God to start speaking to you in pictures. Thanks, Tanya.
Hi, everyone. Last night, quite late, as I was praying for Sonika and the message this morning, I received a picture of the congregation standing in pouring, pelting rain, and everyone was holding an umbrella over them, trying to protect themselves from the rain. And as Sonika brought her message, everyone folded their umbrellas and put it aside, and we all started like dancing in the rain. And I just felt that the Spirit was saying to me, like, the hard rain is our problems, our fears, our anxieties, things that we worry about. But as Sonika brought the message, we kind of like received peace and the Holy Spirit flowing over us like in a gentle rain. He's not, as Sonika said, He's a gentleman. He won't just force Himself over us, but just a gentleness of peace and joy and hope. So, kind of good. So, Lord, I just pray that we thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and I thank You that You'll bring Your rain, Lord, and just wash all our fears, our problems, our anxieties away, Lord. And I also pray that Your Holy Spirit will just overflow with us with the gentleness and bring us peace and joy and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I'm almost done. So if this is your umbrella, you're protecting yourself from this bad world out there, figuratively speaking. You're fighting, you're striving, you're really trying to make this life work in your own strength. And it's hard work, and you're battling, and you don't have joy, you don't have peace, you don't have faith. We need to close this, okay? We need to close our umbrellas. I need help. We need to close the umbrellas and we need to say, okay, God, it's closed. Come rain down on me. I'm getting rid of everything that I use to protect my heart, to save myself, to cope in my own strength, to use my own abilities to go through this life. I need Your rain. And I really feel we need to come to a place this morning where we humble ourselves. We say, okay, God, I need Your spring rain. I can't. My own abilities, my own giftings, my own talents, it's still desert. I need to come to the rainforest. Amen.